Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by Navni, the top-ranked anonymous writing website in the world, providing free wellness resources and low-cost online therapy to help people cope with emotional distress. Write anonymously. Feel better at NOVNI.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant, and for those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007, and am the author of Beyond Surviving, the Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. I work with survivors who are sick and tired of feeling broken and unfixable, and I help them reclaim their lives and heal and finally feel normal. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving program at www.rachelgrantcoaching.com. Now, as always, I am always excited to have my guests here, but today I'm particularly thrilled to be connecting with Lakeisha Woodard. She's going to be talking with us about her personal journey after healing from sexual abuse and how she was able to turn her pain into purpose. So you know, we here at Beyond Surviving are all about that, that we're not meant to be, you know, stuck in a life sentence of pain, that there is life after abuse and that we can step into our purpose and our power and choice and claim authority over our lives and authorship. So Lakeisha is going to be talking with us about that and so much more. And just to tell you a little bit about her, she has a huge passion for empowering women and holds an MBA in global management. So for over 10 years, she's motivated and captivated women on personal development. And her passion really blossomed during her matriculation at Clark Atlanta University when she joined the group Youthful Survivors. So this is an amazing thing that they're doing. They travel across the country and they share their stories of surviving sexual abuse. And as she, you know, moved forward in her journey and during her career, she unmasked this ugly truth to most of the problems among women, which is a lack of self-awareness. And in order to solve this issue, I love that, she saw a problem, she saw a place where things were not going right. She said, well, what am I going to do about that? So her answer was a sister's truth. And this is a sister coaching business that helps women to discover, define, and live their truth for manifesting a courageous life without limits. As a sister coach, she provides women with the necessary tools and encouragement to stay true to themselves for a purpose-driven life Doesn't that sound great, y'all? I love that. And not just that, she's also a motivational speaker. She teaches women the importance of accepting their flaws. Yummy. I love that, too, for personal growth and happiness. So as you can see, we've got a real powerhouse with us here today, and we're so wonderfully blessed to have her with us. Lakeisha, welcome.
Hi, Rachel. How are you? Thank you so much. I forgot who you were talking about.
Well, that girl sounds amazing. I want to meet her. Honey, that's you.
Thank you so much. You know, it's so funny how you just kind of, when you're so wrapped in your purpose and your calling, you forget you know, what it is that you're doing. So, yeah,
that's
thank you for that intro.
True. I hear that. Yeah, of course. My pleasure. So I'm so, so fascinated with this process that you have developed, sister coaching. I'd love to start there so we have context and really more understanding of what you are up to these days. So can you tell us a little bit more about sister coaching and what that is and entails?
Sure, absolutely. Well, Sister Coach is my way of giving a name to Life Coach. And what sets me apart from other life coaches is that I walk alongside you on your journey, sharing my personal life experiences as extra encouragement. So like a sister, we are linked by our karma life experiences and struggles, right?
Yeah.
So it's my personal life experiences that I use to help to educate as well as motivate my clients so they can live in their truth. And I do this because I wholeheartedly believe that there is power. Oh, my God, there's power in our testimony,
mm-hmm.
the power to uplift another woman so she can lean harder on her faith for reaching her breakthrough. So with all that being said, I pretty much give my clients what you'll get from a sister, the hard truth that we don't want to hear or face. But what I've learned over the years is that it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. So I give the hard truth to my clients, wrap the motivation and tie it with the inspirational bow.
Wonderful. Yeah, I love that. It's a real opportunity to connect with someone in a journey, right? So
absolutely.
I love that. And, you know, back in my day when I was going through my master's in counseling psychology and I was really in this inquiry of do I go into therapy? Do I become a licensed therapist or am I going to go the coaching route? One of the biggest reasons why I chose coaching was for exactly what you said there. When we can share our personal story, right, it can become an inspiration. It can become a point of connection and bonding and understanding. And I just knew that that was so important for me in doing the work that I was going to do with survivors of sexual abuse and that, you know, licensed therapy was going to really clamp that down in ways that I didn't want. I'm right there with you in the power of story. And speaking of that, you know, one of the big turn points in your life, it sounds like, was when you became involved with youthful survivors and you began touring around and sharing your story about, you know, sexual abuse. I'd love to hear more about that, like what your inspiration was and what it was like to be involved in that process.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned earlier, I was attending Clark Atlanta University, and that's when I answered an ad. It was an ad in the college newspaper, you know, for Youth of Survivors. So Youth of Survivors was a nonprofit group consisting of all different type of, you know, college students, and we went around to different schools, churches, and organizations just speaking about all the different adversities that we overcame. There was someone talking about, you know, being HIV positive. There was someone talking about homelessness. There was somebody talking about, you know, being incarcerated. And then you had me. I answered the ad to speak about sexual abuse. Now, at the time, I had not started any therapy sessions at all for my, you know, to start my healing. So I just jumped right into being a speaker. About, you know, talking about my personal experience with sexual abuse. And I'll never forget my very first speaking engagement because I talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. Completely. Rachel, I completely went over my time and the next speaker's time.
Oh, goodness.
You know, telling my story because, you know, it was the first time that I really had the opportunity to just really just get it all out, if you will.
Right.
And at the end of all our presentations, oh, my God, I never forget it. I remember like it was yesterday. a young girl came up to me and told me that she may be pregnant by her mother's boyfriend.
Wow.
That completely changed my life, because at that moment, I realized that my suffering wasn't for nothing and that I can actually inspire other children to come forward in order to end the abuse.
Yeah.
Now, in this little girl's situation, she wasn't pregnant, thank God, but there was definitely evidence of sexual abuse, and they ended up removing her from the home.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
That was my experience, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was after I joined Youth for Survivors, that's actually how I started my therapy sessions as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Like that just kind of broke things open for you and created that
mm-hmm.
space that we need as survivors. You know, that moment of acknowledgement, right? And I think we all have that moment in our journey, some on a stage. most often with a friend or a trusted family member or someone. I love that. That's, again, I told you all, powerhouse. She's like, I'm just going to walk up on this stage. I haven't ever talked about this ever. Yeah, that's bold, and I love that boldness because, yeah, it's so true. When we share our story, the opportunity to impact the lives of other people, to embolden them and mm-hmm. to support them absolutely comes from that. Yeah, and so this sounds like, you know, it launched you into that time where you were doing your healing work and mm-hmm. Going through that process. What do you think are some of the key things that really shifted for you when it came to getting clear and building that confidence to then go on to, you know, start your business? And tell us a little bit about that journey, because I know for so many of my clients and the, you know, survivors who I talk to, there's this real feeling of almost missing out, right? Like, my life is so, you know, stuck in the past and I'm constantly trying to just get through the day. I feel like I can't even step in to my purpose. I can't identify it. I can't, you know, get there. So I'd love to hear what that was like for you to, you know, what was the process for you getting that clarity, first of all, and then building the confidence to go after it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my healing journey started with therapy because, like I said, my very first time speaking about it, you know, I talked for so long that I didn't just talk about the sexual abuse. I talked about everything.
Sure.
You know, growing up in the projects, you know, right outside of Chicago, that as for Ian, the coordinator of Youth for Survivors, she was like, okay, we need to get you some help.
Mm-hmm.
So my healing process started with therapy. That's how I was introduced to therapy. And, you know, I had many issues, as you can imagine, to overcome as a result of sexual abuse. But after healing, I found myself at a crossroads, because a new journey was starting. And that journey consisted of three phases that I've been able to identify and put a name to years later. And those three phases are discovering, defining, and living your truth. And I gained clarity during the discovering and defining, you know, true phases that I went through. And so now I'm consistently building confidence and courage daily as I journey through the live your truth phase. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, let me give them, you know, take a moment to fully explain those three phases.
Please, yeah.
So discover your truth means to become aware of the person God created you to be. This is not the person your parents, friends, or society says that you should be. And then define your truth means to identify on the calling and purpose that God has put on your life. And I purposely left out spouses and children because our calling is bigger than just them.
Sure,
because,
yeah.
You know, we got parents that says, you know, my husband, my kids is my life. Well, your life means a little bit more than
mm-hmm.
just that.
Yeah.
And then living your truth means to have the courage to embrace all aspects of who we are and then present that person to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So during the discover your truth phase, I had to personally really dig deep and pull back the many different layers, right, to get to the root of who I am, the person God created me to be. And because I did this because I never only wanted to be known as a sexual abuse survivor, because
yeah.
I knew deep down there was way more to me than just that. So I had to get to know the healed, the confident, the courageous Keisha in order to get to the root of who I truly am. And then there was the final truth phase. And in this phase, I was searching for the true meaning of my life, right? why did I go through everything that I went through, you know, for 18 years? I wanted to know and figure out the purpose and the calling that was placed on my life. So then there's the last phase. And in this phase I'm currently in now, once I discover who I truly was and the calling on my life, it was time to live it out. Now, that seems super simple when you say it, but it's not so easy to present your authentic self to the world, because that's when you're, you know, when you're opening up the door for judgment and ridicule.
Yeah.
And that's a door that no one wants to open up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. I think I certainly have had these periods in my life, and I see my clients struggle with this too, where, you know, we sometimes can swoop through those first two stages. Yep, I'm clear. Yep, I'm there.
Yep.
But, oh, man, when it comes to kind of, okay, now I'm actually going to, like, put this on paper somewhere, or I'm going to start, you know, actually say it out loud to other people or step into it.
Yeah.
All sorts of, like, resistance and fears and challenges just show up. Yeah. So let's break this down a little bit. I love, thank you for sharing kind of how you personally connected with each of those, you know, stages that you've defined. Let's talk a little bit about what our listeners can look at or focus on. So, like, maybe one tip or one little piece of advice that, okay, if, you know, the discovery phase, what are some of the key things that they could be doing or take on that's going to really help them, you know, in that first step?
Sure. Well, a tip for, if you don't mind, I give tips for all three phases.
Yeah.
So a tip for journeying through discover your truth phase, which is a phase for gaining clarity, is to simply just stop being afraid to let someone else down. And I know that may sound really, really harsh, but I'm all about self-care, self-love, and self-awareness. Because the success of the goals that we set in our lives start and end with self. Some people find themselves working hard to make someone else proud. I'm raising my hand right now. You can't see me, but I'm raising my hand because I went through that.
Sure.
You know, we find ourselves working so hard to make someone else proud instead of doing what's best for us. You know, so I'm speaking from personal experience, because I had to take that exact same advice to feel confident about my decision, you know, when I decided not to go back to law school, because I, you know, I attended law school for a little while. So,
yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. So you also gain clarity during the define your truth phase. And the tip I want to give is to really just open your eyes and pay attention. Because what people are coming to you for, you know, constantly, you know, we tend to overlook those natural talents and gifts, right, as being tied to our purpose. Because, you know, it's so easy for us to do, and it provides us with all this joy, you know, these tremendous amounts of happiness, which is what our purpose is supposed to do. Like, I literally had a client tell me that, you know, catering couldn't be her purpose because she loved it so much. Right?
Oh, goodness, right.
Yeah. So we cannot overlook, you know, the simple things that come easy to us. And that's exactly what I had to do, you know, in order to understand my purpose. And then when you're in the living your truth phase, which is the phase where you build the confidence that you need, the courage, the perseverance, well, this is also the most challenging phase out of the three phases. And the reason is because when you present yourself to the world, your true self to the world, you know, you're making yourself susceptible to other people's negative opinions, the ideas, or unwanted advice about you and how you need to live your life.
Yeah.
You know, and if I could be honest for a moment, this is the number one reason some of us put on a facade, you know, because we want to avoid the spotlight, right? So a tip to help you build your confidence and to courageously walk in your truth is just simply to embrace your difference. Because when you accept who you are, flaws and all, no one can use your imperfection as, you know, ammunition to kill your self-esteem, to kill your faith, or even cause you to have self-doubt.
Yeah, right on.
Love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Yeah, I hear that loud and clear, and I love that. You know, a couple of things that really jump out to me from what you just shared there, Lakeisha, is first of all, you know, giving yourself the room to put yourself first, which, boy, can that be hard for survivors of sexual abuse to go, you know what, my needs, my desires are, it's okay to have those be primary and to let the expectations of other people drop away for a little bit so I can really tune in to what it is that I want and want to create for my life. And yeah, that piece of just finding that way out of, you know, meeting the expectations, pleasing others, and giving yourself all sorts of permission, you know, to lean in to what you're feeling called towards and building that confidence. So yeah, exactly that. Whenever you hit challenges, because boy, we will. You know, anytime we pursue a passion, there's going to be somebody saying, what? You're going to do what?
Right.
That's not going to work. You know, all of that. So, man, to be able to have a mute button for those people is super important. My goodness.
It's super important. It's super important. And that just stems from, you know, people projecting their fears onto you.
Yeah.
And we have to learn how to just block it. You know, become a ninja warrior and just block it out.
Yeah.
Block it out. Block it out. And then keep moving forward. You know, because if you continue listening to everybody else, you know, you'll stay constant. You'll stay stagnant. You'll stay exactly where you are. So sometimes you just, you know, need to act in silence. I've done that a lot over the years where I just moved in silence. I didn't tell anybody. People just woke up one day and I was an author.
There it was. You have a book.
There
it
is.
There it is. That's great. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, you know, a question that's coming to mind for me in this conversation around purpose and living your truth and stepping into, like, what you're most passionate and desiring of. You know, something that I know that survivors run into is because of abuse and trauma, life can get a little derailed sometimes. You know, we're in the hurt, we're in the pain, and so we're not pursuing our degree. Or we're not finishing that program that we set out to do. And then we find ourselves at this place of going, okay, well, it feels like those doors are now closed. The thing that I really wanted to do, the thing that I was passionate about and I cared about, it doesn't feel like it's even possible anymore. Time has passed. I'm too old. Da, 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 da. I'd love to hear from your perspective, you know, how you kind of take that sort of thing on when it feels like one dream or one purpose the door has closed on. How do you approach that? What would be your advice or your guidance for folks who are feeling that way?
That's a really good question. You know, I ran into this really early on. When I was 17, 18 years old, I had to make a decision. And the reason why I had to make a decision is because my sister at the time was just murdered. And my brother was going down the same path. He was into, you know, gangs, you know, dealing drugs. And, you know, we're in the projects and we had all these things going on. You know, our fathers wasn't in the household. You know, my stepfather, you know, he was, you know, a drug addict, you know, and a pedophile. So that's the father figure I had growing up. So, you know, once he was out of the house and he was in prison, you know, my sister was murdered. I had to do something. I had to do something. I had to be the person that my younger siblings needed to look up to. Like, I had to figure out how to become the example of success that they needed to see, right, in order for them to know that there is something more for us out here. I didn't have a choice. And most times when we're at that point, we probably don't have a choice. So I literally had to just not even think about it and just leap forward. And I really used my sisters and my brothers. I put myself to the side. You know, because like I said, this was before the healing process. Like, I was fresh out of all this was going on. I was fresh out of the sexual abuse situation. Like, my stepfather had just, you know, went to prison. I had to go through all that, court hearings and all that. And, you know, I had a decision to make. Luckily, I was accepted into a college So I had college on one end, and then I had the death of my sister on the other end. So it was like, what you going to do, Keisha? What you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to dig deep and really just, like, think about the people that will look up to me and be able to pull that motivation and inspiration from me in order to do and be them. So in the beginning, you know, I looked to my sisters and brothers like they were my motivating factor because at that point I had no other motivation.
My mom never graduated
from high school. I was the first in my family to go to college and to graduate from college. You know, I'm the first to do everything. So at that pivotal moment, I had to rely on something. I had to pull the motivation from somewhere. So I used my sisters and brothers as a way to motivate myself to do something different from what we already knew. And then honestly, you know, once I made that first leap, I'm not going to say that it became 100% easier, but, you know, it became a little bit easier to keep making leaps because every time you leap, you're moving forward. If you're not taking a step, you set it in that exact same spot.
Right.
But every time I leaped, I moved forward. I got somewhere. So I leaped again, and I leaped again, and I leaped again. And every time I came to a crossroads or a decision, you know, really hard decisions, I reflected back on the previous times where when I was able to leap and move forward. Mm-hmm. And that gave me the courage to leap again.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing more of your story with us. And, you know, when we're in that space of loss and adversity, and I hear you talking about defining moments, right, choices, we have an opportunity to choose whether we're going to stand still, become resigned, become bitter, or and go, you know, maybe down the usual path or a possible path or a path we've seen, you know, having been taken by others, and or turn in a different direction. And it's a tough choice, you know, to make. But I love that in those moments, there was this little part of you that just said, you know what, just go for it. Just try. Just try and see.
Goodness,
you know, we don't know unless we leap. And, you know, I love that because when we start to feel that moment of like, well, you know, my chance has passed or there isn't anything I can do now, I guess I've just got to, you know, deal with this. There actually still is that room to leap and create something new. And I loved what you said about those underlying motivators or factors for you. It was your family and your siblings. But for those of you who are listening, like, think about that question. Like, what are the underlying motivators? Because sometimes, especially for survivors of trauma, it's hard to generate self-motivation based on what we're going to gain. Right? But if we start to look out to what others are going to gain, then it can propel us forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've walked a really a beautiful path, a hard, challenging path, but beautiful. One of overcoming, one of saying, you know what, hell no, I'm not going to just sit here. I'm not going to let life, you know, be the author. I'm going to step in and I'm going to, you know, put my hands on the reins and create something that, you know, I really care about. And I'm sure in that journey there have been some moments that stand out to you as like make or break moments or just big moments of like learning. And, you know, anything coming to mind, like any moments that really stand out to you that you want to, you know, share with our listeners today?
There's a few defining moments, and it's actually my defining moment that helped me to identify and put a name to the three different phases I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And the first defining moment was when I decided not to return to law school. Because becoming an attorney was something I always wanted to do from the time I was a little girl, you know, and those who knew me growing up knew that I was just going to be an attorney. I was that little girl, right?
Yeah.
So that was the plan, Rachel. That was the plan to be an attorney. There was no plan B. There was no plan C. You know, once I got out of the situation I was in, I was going to become an attorney, right? But once I got to law school and started my first year, I felt like that goal was achieved, and now I can, like, check it off my list. So that spark and drive and fire that I had for all those years of becoming an attorney slowly deteriorated.
Yeah.
So now what do? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I lost that fire to the point where I decided not to go back after my first year. And this was the hardest decision I made in my life, one of the hardest decisions. And I say that because it caused so much confusion. Because like I said earlier, there was no plan B.
Right.
All I ever thought about was being an attorney. And I couldn't understand for the life of me why I lost the drive to do it. But through some deep soul searching, I really had to dig deep to discover that answer. And the answer was the only reason why I was pursuing a career as an attorney was because my mom loved the TV show Perry Mason. I just hated myself.
Oh, Perry Mason. Oh, Lord. Definitely.
My mom loved the show Perry Mason.
Uh-oh, right?
So,
yeah.
So because she absolutely loved Perry Mason and you know, I decided to be an attorney just like Perry Mason because when I went deeper into my soul searching, you know, becoming an attorney, you know, I realized that it stemmed from the sexual abuse because mm-hmm. at the time when I decided to be an attorney, I was searching, you know, and trying to find a connection with my mom because at the time in my mind, we wasn't connected.
Right.
So I figured if I could just connect with my mom, have her love me just enough, she'll do something to stop the sexual abuse. And
wow.
Perry Mason became my way to connect with my mom in order to get her to love me enough to stop the sexual abuse. So
yeah.
This goal, this dream, you know, I had of becoming a lawyer was a dream, a goal that definitely helped me through my hardships, and I'm very clear on that point, but it was a goal that was only met for a season.
Yeah.
So I literally got to a point where I wanted to do something purposeful. I was ready to accept the calling that God had placed on my life, but first I had to figure that out. So the next defining moment, because after deciding to go to law school and figuring all this out, you know, I started to reflect over my life to see what was constant.
Mm-hmm.
What's the constant thing that I love to do that people are always coming to me for? And over the years, I found myself sharing my story to inspire and encourage other women, you know. And I wasn't only sharing about the sexual abuse, you know, but I talked about the other adversities that I overcame, you know, that I just shared with you earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and then I became that listening ear that people turned to when they needed to talk. You know, then I became that person, you know, people would call when they needed an accountability partner. And then I became that person people would call to, you know, to brainstorm ideas or to put together a presentation so they can ask their boss for a raise at work. You know, I became that person people would call if, you know, they needed someone to, like, speak to a daughter or someone in their family just to give them some encouragement. You know, I became
yeah.
that person people modeled. And I didn't know it at the but I became the person that people model when they wanted to just change their circumstances, all because of my backstory, because they saw where I was, they saw me overcome, and they saw where I am today. So I became their model.
Nice. Yeah.
So all of this was going on as I was torturing myself in law school.
Oh, man.
Law school is all about the gray areas, and I don't like
right.
gray anyway.
Right.
You know, straight to the point. Just tell me exactly what's going on, and the law school is all about the gray areas. So I was literally chasing a dream that didn't belong to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So with all this discovery, it was time to figure out how to make sense of it all, right,
mm-hmm.
and how to live in my purpose, to have a purpose-driven life that I was destined to have. It was time to fully walk in my truth and present this new me to the world and be okay with it, you know, because deciding not to go back to law school, like, I feel like I let some people down.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's so funny how other people get so, you know, got
invested
in me. Yeah,
yes.
Invested in me becoming
yeah.
And it's And it's so funny, Rachel, because I can still get phone calls right now today, you know, people asking me for legal help. And it's been over 10 years since I attended law school.
Right. Like, hello, can we update? Update right. Needed.
Right, exactly. So as a sister coach and owner and founder of, you know, Assistance Truth, you know, I'm finally fulfilling my calling. You know, there has been some bumpy roads, some wins, some losses, and I'm sure there's a whole lot more to come. But this time, I'm excited about the challenges, you know, as well as the successes that will come.
It's that beautiful thing when you get that alignment. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Keisha, but I'm just like bursting with that right now because what I'm so hearing and what you're talking about is alignment, right?
Yes.
And when we pursue goals that are out of alignment with our actual desires but are based on, you know, other motivators or, you know, that are not going to propel us really, you know, towards something positive.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
yeah, we can get ourselves in, you know, in kind of a twist and all of a sudden end up doing things, you know, or doing jobs that like, yeah, we might be good at them or it might be possible, but there's that lack of like exactly what you said, excitement and willingness to like even go through the things that might be difficult. You know, when you're aligned with your purpose, the challenges, you're like, okay, bring it on. When you're outside of your purpose, any challenge just feels like that much more of a kind of a slap in the face. Like, this is, man, I don't like this, and I got to deal with problems, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Being alignment with your purpose, you know, makes going through the challenges just a little bit more bearable.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit. Yeah.
The other thing that just really jumps out to me from your story, which I think is so important for those of you who are listening, is like sometimes you can think you've got it, like, okay, this is it, this is the thing. But, you know, life can have a different plan. And if we can continue to stay tuned in, and that's okay. And, you know, to trust sometimes that, you know, it might be a wiggly path, or you might think it was going to look one way, and then that door closes, but you get to create a new path, right?
Yes.
And a new opportunity.
Yes.
And that we find, you know, I can really relate to your story on a lot of levels. You know, I was going to be a high school English teacher. You know, and got to college and started working with high schoolers and was like, I don't like these people at all. And then it's exactly that feeling you were talking about. Like, it's almost like the floor drops out because you're like, well, shit, what am I going to do now? And but if we can stay, I think, you know, if I were to draw some themes from what I'm hearing, it's like stay positive, stay optimistic, stay connected to the possibility that there is something next, you know, that that leap does take you to a new place and then the next leap. Because if we fall into that feeling of like, man, just again, I think resignation, it really is these two counter experiences of either becoming resigned and bitter or remaining open and optimistic and leaning into new possibilities.
Absolutely. And, you know, two more points I want to add to that is that also move with expectancy too. You know, because a lot of times when we're facing decisions, we're so afraid of failing. But have expectancy, you know, that if you do something different will happen.
Right.
Whether it's positive or negative. The point is,
did you all hear that? Let's say that again, Lakeisha. I think that bears repeating.
Yes.
That's a quote right there.
Yes.
If you do something different is going to happen. Yes.
Something different is going to happen. So we really have to embrace change.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have to embrace change. And thankfully, I did that. You know, I was able to embrace change because, like you said, the floor, you know, fell from up under me when I was in law school. You know, when I was in law school, it was like everybody was fiending for themselves. And I wasn't like that. I'm like, you know, let's all gather together, you know, and help each other out type of person. That's not the case when you're in law school. You know,
it's
very competitive. So I had to embrace change in order to fully walk into my purpose. You know, I don't know if you know Lisa Nichols. She's a motivational speaker. I love Lisa Nichols. And I heard her say that it's okay to be, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but she says that it's okay to be committed to the vision, but don't be committed to how you get there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's okay. it's okay to be committed to the vision, but don't be so bent on how you get there.
Right.
Because like you said,
it might not look the way you
change.
Expect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's powerful.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You have just filled me with so much to take away and to ponder and just lifted my spirits in so many ways. And
oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Man, it's just such a joy. It's such a joy to have you here. And, you know, to hear a story of adversity and challenge and heartache and just mm-hmm. loss and pain, but to see you just, you know, thriving in your life and not mm-hmm. letting those experiences define you and taking mm-hmm. all that you have learned through those challenges and, you know, sharing that with the beautiful people who come into your world and have the joy of working with you. I just, you know, I champion you and cheer you
thank
on
you so
because
much.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank
Man,
you, thank you.
Any final thought for folks listening today?
yes, absolutely. I just want to tell everybody who's listening today that no matter what it is that you're going through or what you overcame, you know, there's a purpose and calling on your life. Like there is somebody who needs your gift and your talent. You know. So it's important for you to be exactly who you are so you can be a blessing to someone else because you never know who's watching you. You never know who's pulling encouragement from you. So it's important for you to be you so we can teach the younger generation that's coming behind us mm-hmm. how to be authentic to themselves. So if everything we said and talked about today just completely goes over your head or goes in one ear and out the other. Hopefully that's not the case. I just want each and every one of your listeners to remember and never forget. And that's they are enough and their truth
yeah.
is beautiful.
Yeah, I second that. Absolutely. Yeah, so for those of you who are listening today, I just hope you have been encouraged and inspired. And if you would like to connect with Lakeisha, you can certainly email her at info@asisterstruth.com. And you can also learn more about her sister coaching programs at asisterstruth.com. So do not hesitate to reach out and connect with her, particularly if you're finding yourself at a place in your healing journey where you've done a lot of that kind of clearing out all the clutter and confusion, and you're really in that place of now it's time to step into what's next and what's new. I know she can help you get there. And also a great way to continue learning from Lakeisha is to pick up her newly published book. You know, that book she was, you know, writing on the down low. Well, it is not on the down low anymore. It is published.
No, it's not.
That's right. So 31 Days of Truth. Manifest Your Passion, Power, and Perseverance is now available on Amazon. So please head over there and get your copy today. I know I've already had a little preview of it, and it's a really, really beautiful book and guide and takes you through exercises so you can really dig in and discover some really wonderful things. And I want to just take a moment to thank all of you for joining us today and remind you to visit rachelgrantcoaching.com. To learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and explore the other resources available. And please do be sure to subscribe to this podcast. And if you've been touched, inspired, or helped, please leave a little message for us and review. We'd love to see that. And continue to come back each month because we have so much more to share with you. And until then, take good care.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.